Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome to the weekly Nintendo News Roundup live each and every Friday night. The All-In Crew breaks down the week in Nintendo news. Hey, Eric. Good to see you.
How you doing, bud?
I'm happy. Right. You're happy?
I am happy. Before we do this show every Friday night, I go out and I grab my dinner and everything like that. And as I was coming back from grabbing my dinner, as I was coming back into my little condominium compound, there was an actual honest-to-goodness lemonade stand out there.
Oh, wow.
being manned by a few little
kids,
girls.
I hope.
Yeah, by a few little girls with their mothers supervising. And I was like, that is like an actual honest-to-goodness lemonade stand. That was the cutest thing. So I actually had to stop, and I actually went up and got myself a little cup of lemonade. That made my heart sing. It was so cute.
At least it wasn't like some, 40-year-old dude being like, you want some lemonade?
Exactly, yeah.
Sparky's here in the chat. Sparky's asking if you were playing some Rainbow Islands this evening.
Oh, please. I think you know the answer to that question. For those listening to the podcast version of this, I have Rainbow Islands up on the TV behind me. Huge, huge fan of Taito's old arcade adventure title. Love Rainbow Islands.
Very good.
Yeah, man. Like, it's lemonade tropes are kind of, or lemonade stands are kind of like a trope of childhood, sure, that we see in movies and even on TV. But up till today, I don't think I've ever actually seen one in real life. So I was like, I've got to stop. But it was so cute. It was great.
How much are they charging for that lemonade in today's economy?
Well, they were only charging $1, but I may have tipped them just a tad.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I love
taxes
it.
Taxes and imports and, all that stuff.
I mean, you'll lose your shirt only charging $1 for lemonade in 2024.
Exactly.
Come on, y'all.
Well, it is a fairly diminutive cup, to be fair.
It's a shot glass. Yeah, that's fair. Well, cool. I'm glad that that's still alive and well. A little faith in humanity restored this night.
A little bit,
so
yeah.
That's good. Okay, well, we have a lot to get into tonight. This is actually, they've made up for what has otherwise been a fairly light news, news cycle in 2024. Nintendo certainly made up for it this week. But before we get into the news, you know what we have to do first.
Absolutely. We have to shout out all the people that help run our lemonade stand on the internet.
That's good. I like that. I appreciate that. Yes, we need to thank our wonderful friends and supporters on Patreon. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. Starting with our Golden Banana Bunch, we need to thank Rob Yapel, Sean O'Baggins, Ashton, Tim A, aka NeoPrime33, aka Nintendo Dad Number 4, Matt, Shy Guy City Murray, Phelan Ward, Bill Tucker, Marcus O'Neill, Liam D, Gamer Jason, Andrew Wilkins, Foolish Fuji, Alan, hashtag look to the cookie, and Solo Something. Huge thanks to our Golden Banana Bunch. You can join the 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier, get a bunch of exclusive content, and join their ranks. But moving into our Triforce tier, we need to thank Josh Vaughn, the godfather of Tingle Love Tuesday, John Datfast Cummins of the Retrologic Podcast and the On Topic Retro Podcast, the Globetrotten Jet Setting Nintendo Hubbin' Sparky of the Nintendo Hub right here on YouTube, who is watching us right now. So shout outs to Sparky watching
Jet
us live.
Jet Setting YouTube Lurking Nintendo Hub.
That's right. Good to see you, Sparky. Adam Caparello of the Retro Groove Podcast, Shy Guy, the other half of our Shy Guy mod squad. Thank you, Shy Guy. Danny Linahosa, Dan and Luma, Bowser, the keeper of the hugs, and the legend himself.
The only 40-year-old man for whom it's appropriate to run a lemonade stand. Uncle Randy.
Uncle Randy wishes he was 40. Uncle Randy's quite a bit older than 40 at this point. But yes, huge shout outs to Uncle Randy and all of our supporters on Patreon. We really greatly appreciate y'all. It's a great way to support the show, of course. Also, merch. If you're watching us on YouTube, there's merch down below. bit.ly/allinmerch is the link for that. If you want to throw a few bones our way. And another great way to support the show, of course, if you're watching on YouTube, just like, subscribe, leave comments. If you're listening on your podcast feed, rate us 5 stars on your podcatcher of choice. Very quick, easy, and free way to support the show. We appreciate you very much. But there is a deluge of news to get into here this week, Eric. So what do you say we get into it?
Sounds good. Last week, there frankly wasn't enough for us to even do a news roundup, but Nintendo and the rest of the universe certainly made up for that this week. My lord. This is, we talked about it beforehand, this may be the most bullet points ever in a all-in Nintendo news roundup. So, I mean, yeah, the clock's ticking. Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. I feel like the first thing we should just kind of at least quickly address.
Yes.
I thought we were going to get away with not talking about Pal World on the show this week. I thought we would briefly hit this just because the Pokemon Company has issued an official statement regarding the game. Of course, they don't.
Call out Pal World by name, but I mean.
But it's Pal World. And you know, I've got their statement here. I'm just going to read it real quick. It says, inquiries regarding other companies' games. Quote, we have received many inquiries regarding another company's game released in January 2024. We have not granted any permission for the use of Pokemon intellectual property or assets in that game. We intend to investigate and take appropriate measures to address any acts that infringe on intellectual property rights related to the Pokemon. We will continue to cherish and nurture each and every Pokemon and its world, and we work to bring the world together through Pokemon in the future. End quote, the Pokemon Company. Now, I'll be curious to get your take on this, Eric. To me, this statement is just, stop asking us about it.
I think so, because just the incessant comparisons. I mean, yes, they're pretty obvious, but yes, the incessant comparisons and the incessant likeness to Pokemon. Even, you know, Kit and Krista were retagging their original reaction to Pal World, where they were specifically calling out, like, why does that Eevee have a gun? Oh, that's a nice looking Gyarados, you know, stuff like that. Where Kit even says at the end, is like, yeah, the cease and desist is already being written. So, yes, the obvious comparisons are obvious. But, yeah, I'm sure that you guys really think that this is, like, this month is the first time that Nintendo or the Pokemon Company has become aware of Pal World? You don't think that this isn't a situation, that this isn't something that they've already been discussing behind closed doors for quite some time? I mean, it's called the Nintendo Ninjas for a reason. We didn't teach Pokemon about Pal World this month, but just because the game has come out and now that it's, you know, in the wild, I'm sure that just the incessant amount of comments and tags and requests and inquiries, I'm sure Pokemon's just like, guys, just if we need to do something, we will, but chill, guys, just chill.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Nintendo, the Pokemon Company, I mean, these are some of the most litigious companies.
Yeah, they are.
On planet Earth. So, I mean,
as much as we love them, yeah, they're hardcore. They go after people if they need to.
Yeah, big time. And if they had grounds to sue, they would have already sued.
Yeah, frankly. The game would never have released. The game would never have come out if that was the case. However, you know, I'd be lying if I said they probably weren't still thinking of an action they could take.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they are. I mean, it sounds like they're investigating. And by that, I mean, what they need to determine is if anything is actually being stolen. There's been threads and threads of people who have made, like, the comparisons. And this Pokemon looks like it's, you know, mashed up with this Pokemon to make this design and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, but what you have to determine is if anything is actually being stolen or if it is doing anything to actually hurt the Pokemon IP. And neither of those things are true as far as we can tell. Is it creatively bankrupt and creatively not worth your time? Sure. You know, but it's not illegal to rip somebody off. It's not illegal to not be creative. It's illegal to steal and it's illegal to harm a brand. But, you know, the whole, like, Pokemon with guns narrative is not being pushed by Pal World. It's being pushed by the fans.
Yeah. And you have seen all those thumbnails from all the outlets that are posting the Pal World Pal next to its obvious Pokemon design inspiration. You know, we've seen the Electabuzz. Yeah, we've seen the Electabuzz comparisons. We have seen the Lucario comparisons, the Eevee and the Gyarados comparisons. That doesn't mean they aren't legally distinct.
They are legally distinct. And, you know, the game itself, you know, and I've watched plenty of footage of the game. I've not played it myself. I'm not interested in playing it. But, you know, like the game itself is very dissimilar to Pokemon. Yeah. It really has very little in common with Pokemon beyond the conceit of the pals and all of that. And there was a modder who made like a Pokemon skin, which was immediately taken down.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, that because Nintendo that's when has it becomes,
come after me and all that.
Right. Well, and that is when it becomes harmful to the brand, right?
Yes.
Is when you have people potentially being confused that it actually is a Pokemon game. And we're seeing a lot of people online sort of take it to mean, 'cause the game has been extraordinarily successful.
It has.
It's taken off with streamers. It is, I think, just behind PUBG as the like best-selling paid game in Steam history or something like that. I think it's sold like north of 8 million units at this point. And there's, and the number
of concurrent players topped like 2 million or something, which is, I think, second only to Multiverses, I think, maybe.
It's a lot. Yeah, so the game's been extraordinarily successful. There's no denying that. And there's a lot of people who are sort of picking apart, why is it because Pokemon sucks so much and people are looking for their fix somewhere else or, you know, whatever. And it's created this, like, it's created this sort of divide in the community of people who are either defending Power World as kind of like being what Pokemon will never dare to be or something, and people who are defending Pokemon and Nintendo for like Power World, like ripping them off and being this like evil, you know, sort of corporation on the side, like operating under the fringe and stuff. And really, I don't think that any of these people need defending. I think they're both going to be just fine independently of each other. And people should just, you know, should just enjoy what they want to enjoy and just play what they want to play and move on with their lives. But that's not going to happen because this
thankfully it's never been the MO of the internet to ever drum up controversy, drum up drama, or drum up conflict where there didn't need to be any.
But we just
wanted to bring it up for the simple sake that at this point it's gotten so bad that the Pokemon Company made an actual statement on the matter, but they did make sure to end it with, "We will continue to nurture each and every Pokemon and continue to bring the world together through Pokemon."
There was a recent quote or something from Andy Robinson, I think, of VGC, who said that he had, and I mean, whatever, take this with a grain of salt, but I read it this week and he had mentioned that the Pokemon Company actually like is taking the Scarlet and Violet situation to heart. And again, I don't know. I don't know where he heard that from or what, but he's reporting it. And so who knows? Maybe the confluence of all of these things ends up getting us some better Pokemon games. Who knows? We'll see.
Competition breeds excellence. And honestly, I think this might be the first time that Pokemon has ever felt like something was directly competing against it, possibly.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think they see it as competition, but I do think they see it as
8 million units over the course of less than a week. I'm sure they took notice of that.
Well, you gotta think about it from a couple of different angles with that, right? Because it's 8 million units of a $30 game, first of all. And it's 8 million units of a $30 game that is on multiple platforms as well as Game Pass. So, you know, meanwhile, Pokemon's like, well, we sold 20 million units of Scarlet and Violet that everybody hated over a weekend for full price on one platform. So let's slow our roll a little bit, you know, Pow World. It's going to be okay. Pokemon's going to be just fine.
Yeah.
I don't think we have to White Knight for Pokemon. It's going to be fine.
I'm not White Knighting for Pokemon. I'm just saying, you know, I was like, oh.
No, well, I'm not saying you. I mean the internet at large is like, let's go defend poor Pokemon with the most
profitable IP in human history needs help.
Poor Pokemon has Power World and they're, you know, selling all these copies. I think Pokemon's scared. Pokemon is not scared of Power World. They're completely different games.
Honestly, like, I think it would be better if they were scared of Power World, because maybe that's
I agree. Yeah, I agree. Okay, let's move on to this next story here. This is an interesting little story. Yes. This is something that happened over Instagram this past week. Universal Studios Orlando on their Instagram.
Why do game devs look so weird in hard hats?
They all, you know, I think we know the answer to that. They had never wore a hard hat in their life.
Probably.
Universal Studios Orlando, in promoting the Epic Universe expansion, posted a video on Instagram, and we got a little spot here. See somebody familiar in the video, which has since been removed by Universal. We see here both Shigeru Miyamoto and Eiji Aonuma, Zelda series producer.
I was about to say, isn't he attached to the Zelda franchise, Seth? What could he possibly be doing supervising creation and construction at Universal?
I mean, it's you know, it's pretty obvious, exactly, like what's going on here. But obviously Nintendo has not officially announced you know, any sort of Zelda expansion. Obviously, Mario has been there for a little bit, and we know Donkey Kong is coming.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it sure does look like Zelda is in current construction at their Epic Universe site, which is interesting because Epic Universe is being couched as this like kind of separate land in Universal Studios Orlando, where it's going to be kind of like more like adventure heavy IP, which they've had that, I think it's literally called Islands of Adventure. That's been there for a minute, where it has like that kind of like mythological part and stuff in Universal Orlando. So
it's,
I don't know,
a while since I've been there, but that sounds right.
Yeah. Like I remember there's like a big old like Poseidon's trident, like in the middle of a waterfall, like sort of thing. And anyways, I don't know if this is like meant to replace that, or what, but whatever Epic Universe is going to be, this is apparently where Zelda is going to be slotted in. So that's interesting. I mean, yeah, there is no other reason for Eiji Aonuma to be here than that. I mean, that's what's going on. And of course, hey, they removed the video.
Hey, Aonuma, you want to get out of the office for a day? I'm heading over to the supervised construction of something completely not having anything to do with what you're working on.
Take a field trip?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure, Shigeru. I'll go all the way from Japan over to Florida just to hang out.
Yeah. So, you know, not really much more to say about it than that, other than like, yeah, it sure seems like Zelda is happening. It's too bad they don't also have like a movie project in the works to, you know, to promote.
If only. But I mean, this does, like, opening of Super Nintendo World is still a recent development. We obviously know the Donkey Kong is coming. This is, I mean, all but official confirmation of a Zelda attachment to Super Nintendo World. Like, this is all happening within fairly short order. Can we assume that, I mean, especially at this point, can we assume that this isn't even going to be the end? I mean, Kirby would make sense, despite, you know, not necessarily selling as well as some of their other franchises. I think Metroid would make sense. But again, with all of these dominoes falling in pretty quick succession, I've already got to wonder. Because initially, one of the things that I wondered about when I saw the full map of Super Nintendo World is it did kind of strike me as, I've really thought that would be just a little bit bigger, honestly.
Yeah.
So, but
it's
then,
not that big.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah. So then all the news about the Donkey Kong attachment, and then now this thing with Eiji Aonuma showing up, and I'm like, are they trying to create some Nintendo? Are they creating the Smash Brothers park, essentially? So I don't want to go off on tinfoil hat-tinged, you know, rants and speculation about how many other Nintendo characters might be getting their own attachment, but again, with all these dominoes falling in fairly short order, it seems to me that Nintendo's got some fairly big plans in the works.
That's for sure. Yeah, and I don't blame them. I mean, look, man, the Mario stuff has done very well, and I don't blame them one bit for wanting even more, especially with all these other multimedia projects coming out of Nintendo's IP. So, very, very cool.
Yes, sir.
Talk a little bit about Princess Peach, shall we? Got a new trailer.
Yeah.
This week for Princess Peach Showtime.
She's definitely been hitting the job fair, hasn't she?
She's got a lot of new, you know, we have kind of seen some of this stuff in the past, but this is our first, I think, fully featured, kind of like, even though it's only a minute and a half-ish trailer, we're finally kind of, I feel like, getting a little bit of a sense for the game's personality.
And there's a little ton of variety on offer just in this little 1 minute trailer. We get to see a ton of Peach's new abilities, new costumes in working order. Obviously, the two new ones, Ninja Peach and Cowgirl Peach, are front and center, the first two that we see. But we do see a couple others as you're watching the video here. Detective Peach showing up. We just saw Sword Fighter Peach. And then I still have a hard time with this.
Patissier,
thank you. Mm-hmm. Patissier Peach. And again, a lot of the different little gameplay snippets all seem wildly different from each other. We got to see a nice little horse race from Cowgirl Peach. We got to see some fun little, I guess, whack-a-mole style gameplay from Cowgirl Peach as well. There's clearly some stealth stuff going on with Ninja Peach, including the wall jumps. And somebody did point out that specifically the ninja and cowgirl version of Peach were ever so briefly teased in the original trailer. You could see the icons above the doors. But yes, I do wonder exactly how many of these costumes, how many of these worlds that Peach is going to wind up being able to explore. But man, I'm here for it. The fact that Peach is finally breaking out into a really distinct feeling adventure of her own, because as good as Super Princess Peach was at the time, A, it hasn't aged well, and B, it was just kind of another 2D platformer. But this really feels like a unique angle for Peach. And one of the things that I specifically want to say is just the renders that Nintendo has released for Peach since these trailers have started to come out. Just the renders make her seem like a more interesting character than she's literally ever been.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice to see Peach as a character being taken a little bit more seriously between the Mario movie and stuff. And, you know, I think they're kind of realizing what they have with her. And, you know, I love everything we've seen about this. It's made me really excited for the game, because while I think that I think that there's been a lot of, you know, fair comparisons to something like Kirby. Mm-hmm. You know, there's certainly plenty of variety on the level of something like Kirby or whatever. I think that, like, there's nothing that I can really cleanly compare this to. And I love that about it. This seems like a very unique, identifiable thing for Peach. And I really hope, like, I look at this and I'm like, this could, you know, as long as you've got new ideas, you know, in the bucket, you can keep this going. You know, I like the enemies. I like the grape like squad. I think that's so fun. Like, yeah,
I would pay way too much for an amiibo line for this game, too. These different costumes for Peach really are just begging for a line, like a full line of amiibos. And I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that Smash Brothers just celebrated its 25th anniversary, but like, if Peach doesn't have literally all of these costumes in the next Smash Brothers, I will be a little disappointed, I'm not going to lie. But I am really excited to see how all of these different abilities feel. Because ultimately, what Nintendo is trying to do here is they're trying to create what seems like a dozen different separate, like, full-on characters in this game that are all going to have their own unique abilities. And yes, they have done something like that with Kirby in the past. However, with, again, the stealth type gameplay and again, the whip and everything like that, that's a lot of different mechanisms and a lot of different elements that you're adding into one game. I know Nintendo's going to handle it well because Nintendo first party titles always control well, but how actually satisfying are each of those segments going to play? When you have such different abilities, you do run the risk of a few of them not really clicking with players. And when you have something like that, that can tend to bring down the overall perception, your overall opinion of an experience. So, you know, trying to make each one of these unique and interesting and trying to make every single one of these fun. You know, I know Nintendo's going to put their best foot forward with Peach. I know that they consider this an important game for 2024, not just, you know, it's been a long time since Peach has had her own game. It really should, you know, we really should make another one. I feel like Nintendo is trying to take this as seriously as possible, and they do view this as a potential new launching point for a franchise. I know they, I mean, you could argue that about literally any game, but especially with the way that mindsets have changed, especially over the past few years in terms of, you know, women's place within the gaming landscape. I think Nintendo's realized and was like, oh yeah, we actually have quite an ace up our sleeve in terms of representing that.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And I think, I think that this is like their first real, like, big game, I would say, of 2024. Because we had another Code, of course, Mario yep. versus Donkey Kong. These are, you know, remakes of old games. This is the yes. first, like, new game of 20. And it is, to be fair, being slotted into that usual Kirby slot.
It is,
That's sort of, it's coming March 22nd. It's getting
exactly
that
when
sort
we got
of,
Forgotten Lands 2 years prior.
Yeah, it's true. And, you know, to sort of strengthen this, you know, argument that, like, yeah, Nintendo is viewing this as a big deal, they're releasing some special Joy-Con with it. A set of pastel pink Nintendo Switch Joy-Con controllers will be available at select retailers and My Nintendo Store for a limited time to celebrate the release of Princess Peach Showtime.
Posting that picture with the Joy-Cons next to the same color pastel roses was a marketing stroke of genius. That was so cool. Because it's very clear, you know, who Nintendo is trying to reach out to with these. But honestly, they just look good. I think the Joy-Con controllers look good. I don't know if they would look good necessarily against some of the more weirdly colored special editions, but just attached to a singular black Switch, Nintendo Switch tablet, I think they'd look really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's great. My wife already wants them.
Of course, Anastasia wants those.
So, I mean, mission accomplished, you know, they did their job right there. And, you know, I think it's great. I think it really, I think it demonstrates that they are, you know, taking this seriously. I mean, we compared to like Kirby and the Forgotten Land didn't get these. And frankly, they could have done the exact same thing with Kirby and the Forgotten Land with pink Joy-Con.
With a, just a more deep pink Joy. Exactly.
So,
but, you know, just have like a little, just have like the little eyes on top of the Joy-Cons to give it like a little mouthfill mode vibe or something.
Oh, that would be great.
Oh my God. I'd take 10 that. Nintendo. If you release them now, I'd buy them.
Well, we're looking forward to Princess Peach Showtime, certainly, but we do have a little bit of bad news here this week.
Yeah.
Nintendo issued a statement saying that, you know, until April 8th,
yes.
Online play and other functionality that uses online communication will end service for Nintendo 3DS and Wii U software. And yeah, until March 11th, you can merge your unused eShop balance to your Nintendo account so that you can still use it on your Switch.
Yes, they which also you should said, definitely do, because that money will just disappear.
Right. And they also mentioned, like, stuff like Pokemon Bank and stuff will, at least for now, continue to exist. But get in your Triforce Heroes playthroughs now.
Exactly. While you can. The hardcore Steel Diver community out there is apparently reporting that support for that game has, I guess, already ended.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But yes, unfortunately, the 3DS online and Wii U online capabilities, we've already lost the shops, but the actual online features, everything else online with those consoles will be going away in just under 3 months, rather. So,
yeah,
proper 3DS Wii U Armageddon. I mean, that's not to say that you can't. I will say, did we get clarification on the ability to re-download software?
Yeah, as far as we know, you'll still be able to re-download software.
That's what I thought. You know, I saw a few conflicting reports about that, so I didn't. So I didn't know, but I just wanted to make sure that we, you know, if I wanted to make sure if that was the case that, you know, people knew about it, because that's going to be a big thing for a lot of people, because a lot of people don't have enough room on their 3DS to hold all of the games that they own. So maybe it's time to go buy an SD card or something. But if you can still download the games in perpetuity, I love that word, then hopefully, you know, you don't necessarily have to run out and get one from Best Buy yet.
Yeah, that's what they say anyway. Well, I mean, we'll see how long that is maintained, but that's their story now, and they're sticking to it. So yeah, I mean, we knew this was going to happen.
Of course.
It kind of has to happen. So I almost wish that they would have just done it all at the same time, to be honest, because we got actually plenty of heads up before the eShops closed, like almost a year,
yeah,
I think.
A full year,
heads up.
Yeah.
So. It would have. They should have. I feel like just like cut it all cold turkey. But hey, whatever. This is what it is. It's sad. You know, we've talked plenty about that here on the show.
It is.
Well, a little bit. Let's get back to the good news because, kind of out of nowhere this week, Splatoon 3 Side Order DLC finally getting a release date for that. Which I feel like we've been waiting on this for forever.
Dude, and Tuesday night was absolutely ridiculous. There was like a 13-hour period there where Nintendo just announced. It felt like everything. But arguably the biggest headline out of that was, yes, we finally got the release date for this massive new expansion coming to Splatoon 3. Something that we were even being teased at the game's release. We've known about this for so long, and we've been waiting on a release date for so long. Splatoon 3 has already been out for, what, almost 2 years now?
Yeah, I think so.
So I'm glad it's coming, but yeah, just randomly with no fanfare whatsoever, it's like, oh, hey, it's dropping in March. Get hype. And I was like, okay, yeah, we're hype. Where did this come from? Left field, okay, but I'm still hype. And oh, I love this artwork that goes along with it too. This artwork the end of the trailer is fantastic. I want that on a poster.
Yeah, the artwork's great. It's coming February 22nd.
Yeah,
so now we're, you know, less than a month away from the release of it. And I'll be real, man, between this and the next thing we're about to talk about, this to me gives me a sense of, like, stuff that's kind of been going on behind the scenes at Nintendo. Because we also, speaking of Splatoon, you know, they're doing concerts next month. Two concerts. They're doing a Zelda concert and a Splatoon 3 concert, where the Zelda concert's going to be like the symphony orchestra kind of thing. It's premiering on Nintendo's YouTube channel Friday, February 9th, 5 a.m. Pacific time, 8 a.m. Eastern time. And then Splatoon has a deep cut concert happening the following day at the same time. So February 10th at 5 a.m. Pacific, 8 a.m. Eastern. Now, this feels to me like the kind of thing that they might have announced during this concert, because these concerts were going to happen at Nintendo Live in Tokyo, which would have happened this past weekend. Unfortunately, the event was canceled due to bomb threats. But they, you know, they would have, in theory, held these concerts this weekend. And I don't think it'd be ridiculous at all for them to have announced Side Order's release date as part of that Splatoon concert.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. So, I mean, if you are going to have a very high-profile concert celebrating one of your most amazing video game franchises, why not have the cherry on top with a massive announcement? Oh my God, the Zelda concert, Seth.
It makes you wonder. I don't know that I feel like there's going to be any announcements there. I'm going to try not to get my hopes up, but it does make you wonder. Right. And it also makes you wonder about the placement of what we assume will be the February Direct, because Nintendo always holds a Nintendo Direct in February. And it makes you kind of wonder. I mean, this trailer would have also felt at home there, you know, and the placement of these concerts are around the time when Nintendo typically does like to hold their February Directs, kind of that first, second week of February. I've kind of speculated publicly that I think it's going to be a little later in the month, because I think it's going to be post Mario versus Donkey Kong, which releases on the 16th. I think they're going to kind of want to get that out and then just sort of give it like a week to breathe and then do the Direct on like the 21st or something. But all of this happening also, it's just really interesting. It's a lot of like stuff happening in a condensed window of time.
Yeah. Yeah, a hyper-condensed window of time. But, I don't know, it could just be something as simple as Nintendo officially revealing the Universal Project. They have They have come out and publicly said that there are no plans for DLC for Tears of the Kingdom, although that could have just been an NDA situation. But I honestly, I don't know if they even need to add anything more to Tears of the Kingdom. So it doesn't feel like that doesn't feel like the announcement. The only thing aside from the Universal project that I could possibly imagine is them finally bringing Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD to the Nintendo Switch. That's, if there's going to be an announcement like that, that's what I'm thinking. I know we had, you know, some doofus out there falsely leaking information about remakes of Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons. So I really don't, I take that with less than a grain of salt.
Sure.
So if we're going to be getting any type of announcements, that's where I would hedge my bets personally. What about you?
It's interesting. If it were me, Zelda is, you know, the release date of the split, the already very well-known Splatoon 3 DLC is a low enough impact announcement. It's exciting, sure, but it's a fairly low impact announcement. Like, we knew it was a thing. We didn't even really see new footage in the trailer. It's really just a release date.
Yeah. About time,
Of course, yeah. The actual, like, full-scale reveal of, like, hotly anticipated new Zelda, you know, remakes, re-releases, whatever, like Wind Waker, that, to me, feels like it belongs in a Nintendo Direct. I mean, I'll be happy if it gets announced anywhere it does get announced, and I would certainly be happy to see it be a part of this, but, yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I'm expecting that. I sort of feel like it's just gonna be a concert thing, and maybe they, you know, release some merch or something like that, but if I were Nintendo, I would hold that kind of announcement for a Direct, because I think it is Direct worthy, especially, like you said, these have been rumored for years at this point.
Now, so, that being said, if that is the announcement, that would make our known Nintendo slate for 2024 essentially 4/5 remakes and only one new IP.
And Princess Peach.
Yeah. Another Code Recollection, Mario versus Donkey Kong, Thousand Year Door, the Zelda remake/remakes, and then Princess Peach Showtime standing on her own.
And Luigi's Mansion 2.
And Luigi's Mansion 2. Thank you very much. So 5/6 remakes and one new IP this year. So
That's a lot. We do need the Nintendo Direct to sort of come out and truly kind of flesh out, you know, the rest of the slate for the year. But it's also kind of impossible to tell where they're at. There's all the Switch 2, you know, rumors and stuff floating around there. So it's like, you know, like where are we at? And are they holding back some stuff until after the Switch 2 is more of a known quantity? I mean, who knows? So we're in a huge period of uncertainty with Nintendo right now. And It's interesting because, like, you would think that we would start getting answers, like, within the next month, even potentially within the next couple of weeks. And, yeah, I just don't know. So,
I don't know. I do think it's adorable that Bloomberg is still trying to report on the Switch's successor as if they have any credibility whatsoever left. But, there's certainly a lot of stuff that we're going to know in the next couple weeks. But, I mean, regardless, I am still excited for those concerts. The last Deep Cut concert that Splatoon had was a ton of fun. It was a really great little show. And, I mean, Zelda obviously has some of the best music in the history of video games. And seeing that performed by a full symphony orchestra is just going to be rad by itself, even if, you know, I take the potential excitement of a possible announcement out of it. Just seeing those concerts, I think, is reason enough for me to tune in. I still want the Blu-ray for the Sonic 30th, darn it.
I mean, the Kirby concert was amazing, too. And they announced Kirby's Dream Buffet during that concert. So there is precedent for this stuff, but who knows? I mean, they're going to get me up at 7 a.m. to watch Zelda at the very least.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, let's move on and talk about Smash a little bit, because we have even more Smash spirits that are now available in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate. So for 5 days, starting on the 25th, new spirits such as Zagreus from Hades, spirits from WBSCE Baseball Power Pros, and more being the Sentinels from 13 Sentinels Aegis Rim.
Which is will bizarre appear... they didn't say that, but whatever.
Yeah, whatever. And more will appear on the Smash Brothers Ultimate Spirit Board. Defeat them in battle to earn more SP than usual. These are available now. You can hop on to Smash and get these right now. They're fun little fights. They're a little easy. I've already done them all. I think they're all 3-star fights. But yeah, it's cool to have even more spirits. We have 2 more waves coming of new spirits at some point in the future. So
who is... Yeah. You know, I'm not going to ask you to spoil what the spirit fights are, but I do really enjoy that. Honestly, became one of my favorite things about Smash Brothers Ultimate is just trying to figure out how they were going to translate those characters into a spirit battle, and seeing some of the really creative ways that they've done that with those was always super cool to me. So just trying to figure out how the Zagreus fight is going to play out and then seeing what actually happens.
I think it's fun.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. But, yeah, so we've already got the first wave of Nintendo, of Smash Brothers Spirits that we got last weekend. We've got this wave, and apparently we've got more coming.
Yep. They announced it as part of like the 5th anniversary celebration for Smash Ultimate. They're doing 4 waves of new spirits, and this is wave 2. So I don't know if this is the precedent that is set. I guess we can assume that the it's going to be one at a time, like wave by wave, because this wave launched, or was announced anyway, basically right after the last wave ended.
Yeah.
So I imagine that's the cadence they're going to continue with, but either way, it's cool. And yeah, the other ones are pretty much, you could probably pretty much guess what the other fights are, but the Zagreus one is, again, none of them are hard, but the Zagreus one is fun. Like, you'll be like, ah, I see what you did there. Yeah.
And I do think that these are interesting picks, because we're not getting 20 new spirits representing an entire year's worth of releases. Nintendo has very clearly cherry-picked some very interesting titles out of all of these. Hades is, of course, one of the most notable indie games to come out of the past generation. But I thought it was still interesting that that they chose to show off Supergiant's kind of magnum opus in this way. That, you know, this is the first time you're probably ever going to see Power Pros Baseball next to Hades ever. But
that's the beauty of Smash, man.
That's the beauty of Smash. But just interesting choices, I feel like. And it makes me wonder, like, who are we even going to see for the next couple rounds? Presumably going to be representing the past couple years of releases. So, I mean, maybe we'll see something like Fire Emblem Engage Spirits, or, you know, maybe Mario, we'll see Wonder. Some. Yeah. Maybe even Freya from Coffee Talk. Who knows?
Hey, that'd make me happy. It is me cool, because, you know, the first wave was like, yeah, like Ochi and Deep Cut and Rauru from Tears of the Kingdom. Like, these all make sense. This is like filling in the gap. So it is weird. Like, Power Pros, like, was anybody asking for that? You know,
I know it's a little bit bigger in it's Konami game. It's a little bit bigger in Japan.
It is. Yeah, but still, it's interesting. I'm happy they're doing this at all.
I am too. Yeah, more content for Smash Brothers Ultimate. More reasons, as if we didn't have enough reasons to already play one of the most well-regarded, content-rich games in the history of Nintendo. But
shoutouts to Mr. T here in the chat. Happy Friday, Nintendo friends. Get some rest and play some games. Likewise, Mr. T.
I definitely plan on doing that. Definitely plan on doing that. Mr. T, spelled T-E-A. I dig that.
T-E-A. Yeah. Okay, well, speaking of surprise new content coming to Nintendo games, mm-hmm. even more content for F-Zero 99, the gift that keeps on giving.
Dude!
they just keep putting out content for this game, man, that dropped kind of out of nowhere yet again. Additional content for F-Zero 99 is now available for Nintendo Switch Online members. Secret tracks and private lobbies. Dude, which is very cool.
Private lobbies. Play F-Zero 99 with your friends. That is... I think a lot of people don't realize how big of an update just that is for F-Zero 99. I think that's going to make it incredibly even more approachable for a lot of people and is going to make this a much more standard kind of game night addition to for a lot of people's repertoire. The ability to jump online and just be able to invite who you want to into these games. Yes, please.
Well, and what it guarantees, I mean, F-Zero already had a little bit of future proofing in this regard, because if you can't fill a lobby, it'll fill it with bots.
Yep.
So that's cool. But as long as the app is still around, then you're going to continue to be able to play this with up to 98 other friends.
Yeah.
So this is really future. And the secret tracks,
I've got to make 93 more friends.
Yeah, right. The secret tracks are interesting too.
Yes, they are.
I've seen some. I haven't encountered them yet myself. I did jump into F-Zero 99 to see if I could find them, but I haven't found them yet personally. But I have heard what they are, and it's basically like a mishmash of, like, they basically mash up other tracks. So it can, it can be like a track that has the wind from Deathwind on it and stuff like that, which is really cool, really neat that they're doing that at all. And I don't know how many of them there are, but I guess what happens is it'll just sometimes pop up in the rotation. You'll just see ?? Is one of the track options. Yeah. So pretty neat.
I am really happy, considering how long F-Zero went forgotten in Nintendo's catalog, that they are supporting this game so heavily. That is really nice to see. Hopefully it's an indicator that they want to continue to use the franchise in some way. But again, just seeing how much Nintendo is supporting this version of F-Zero on the Nintendo Switch makes me very happy, because the series has deserved something like this. It deserves more than this, but it has certainly deserved something like this for a very long time.
Yeah, absolutely. A quick little PSA too. I'll just mention this. If you have a Japanese Nintendo eShop account, there is now a demo for Otogi Katsugeki Mameda no Bakaru, which is the Good Feels game. They're like Goemon spiritual successor. You can go onto the Japanese eShop and download a free demo of that. That is on my to-do list this weekend, for sure. So just a little PSA there. But I guess that's all of our headlines. We got some notable releases to shout out.
We certainly do. We've got a lot of fun stuff coming out. And guys, I'm just going to throw this out there really quickly. Not a lot of people is going to care about the game behind me, but I know Sparky does. Thank you for shouting out Rainbow Islands earlier. But with all of the different Arcade Archives games on offer, any individual one can just fly under the radar. I get that. But just take it from your boy. Rainbow Islands is one of my favorite arcade games of all time, and it was released. Taito actually made kind of a big deal about it, about as much of a big deal as they make anything, really, when it comes to social media. They specifically had like a big stream. Is like celebrating the release of the game on Arcade Archives and showed off a lot of concept art and kind of behind the scenes documents of the making of Rainbow Islands. And it's an arcade game that I have a very deep, deep fondness for. So that was released this past week. And if you like old arcade games, I absolutely recommend checking it out. I will actually be doing a full playthrough of the game, because one of the things about Rainbow Islands is the fact that it's not just a point chaser where you go through a bunch of homogeneously designed maps. It's a proper adventure game with stages, with seven worlds, with boss fights. There is an actual end to the title. It's a proper adventure game, and I'll be posting a full playthrough of Rainbow Islands to our YouTube soon.
Cool. Sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I know you're excited about that one.
I am. So. I really like this game. It's a 1987 arcade game, so don't necessarily expect, mitigate your expectations based on that. But for what it is, I really, really love this old game.
Nice. Very cool. Well, you had a W this week, and so did I.
Yes.
The Apollo Justice Ace Attorney Collection came out this week. I got my physical copy in the mail earlier today. It's on the shelf behind me.
I was worried about happy. That for a second.
Yeah, it came in today. I'm excited to have it. It's nice to, it's nice to have these games at all, because we talked about the 3DS and Wii U. Two of those three games were 3DS games that were actually digital only here in the States. So, it is nice to have these on Switch at all, and physically on Switch. So very good. I hope that Capcom decides to put out a physical version of the first trilogy here to go alongside it. That would be very nice. That'd be a nice gesture indeed. And also be cool to have the Miles Edgeworth games also. Yeah. But hey, beggars can't be choosers. I'm happy that they're doing this.
Yeah.
And if you like the Ace Attorney franchise, then this should obviously be on your radar.
I'm happy you got that.
Mm-hmm.
How many how many Ace Attorney games are there at this point? Because a lot of people are just like, oh, there's like four or five Phoenix Wright games, and that's the entire franchise, right? That's the whole franchise, right?
Depends on also if you count the there's a spinoff with Professor Layton as well. So there's probably like 9 or 10 or something like that. All told. So yeah, there's a lot. And there's still even like the Apollo Justice thing basically is like the core series is effectively 6 games. And this is effectively game 4, 5, and 6 in this collection. So so you know, it's definitely worth having if you're an Ace Attorney fan. And again, just for like the preservation of it too, to have these on Switch, it's very, very meaningful. Good guy Capcom. And they also issued a statement recently kind of saying, hey, we're not done with Ace Attorney. So very, very cool. So shout outs to that. Also, speaking of videos on the YouTube channel, Little Guardsman came out this week, which is a really cool and special game. I talk about it in a little bit more detail on tomorrow's episode of All In. So stay tuned for that. We're going to cover that game a little bit more deeply even than that, too, in the future. So be on the lookout. And if you want to see what the game is like, I do have the first hour or so of my gameplay here on the YouTube channel. So Little Guardsman, this really cool kind of like Papers, Please in a modern fantasy setting. Very fun, very funny.
Better say, yeah, Papers, Please, but not soul crushing.
Yeah, it's not dark and depressing at all. It's very fun and funny, but it does still, you know, kind of make a point to talk about some political stuff. It doesn't shy away from that.
Yeah.
But it's great. It's a really great little game, and I'm looking forward to talking even more about it in the future. But that did come out this week. Let's see what else we got. We got a couple, so we got Hitman Blood Money. Hitman Blood Money Reprisal.
Reprisal, yes. A remake of, as the company calls it, basically a remake of Hitman Blood Money that adds in a lot of more recent quality of life stuff, things that have been added into Hitman in the years since. So,
yeah,
I'm not qualified to elaborate on that too much, but I'm just telling you what it said on the eShop listing.
I really like Hitman Blood Money. I remember playing it when it came out. And I haven't played the most recent Hitman game. I actually was like, it was on sale recently. I came very close to picking up on PS5. But Hitman Blood Money, this is the 360 one. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of, some people love it, some people hate it. I really like it personally. I enjoy that game, and the idea that I'm curious what the quality of life updates are. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming most of them are control related, to have a little bit of control parity with the modern Hitman games, and that is certainly welcome. But I'm curious. I don't know if they've given it like some sort of new coat of paint or anything like that. It is an Xbox 360 game, so I don't know. I'm kind of interested in it. I think it's $24.99. I might pick it up. We'll see. But we also got some significant indie game updates this week.
Yes,
I know
we
you
did.
Actually have already been playing a little bit of the Vampire Survivors stuff.
Yeah, so we got the Vampire Survivors Cross Among Us plus Adventures mode update to Vampire Survivors. And you actually have to go into a special boss rush stage to even get the relic, the item that opens up the adventure. So that's all I've really had time to do since it released, but you do actually have to unlock even the adventures mode within the game before you can start to play through them. But it looks like there are several different missions for three of the older legacy maps that have to do with certain characters within the game. And I'll be interested to see kind of more what that actually entails, because up until now, Vampire Survivors was basically just a pure roguelike. You would pick a character, you would jump in, and you would just try to survive for as long as you possibly could, or until death comes for you, whichever comes first. I mean that quite literally, by the way.
Yeah.
But now they're actually putting proper missions into the game, which is really interesting. And I want to see how the game handles that. But you actually have to unlock them first in true Vampire Survivors fashion. So I will report back once more adventures have been had.
Very good. Very good indeed. And we also have an exciting update to Super Kiwi 64, which just dropped as well. And from what I understand,
it's got a super epic trailer, too.
Yeah, well, from what I understand, it's a pretty significant update to Super Kiwi 64. Like, people are saying it's like practically a second game or something.
Yeah.
So,
well, coming from
saying, I mean, the game's short.
Siactro doesn't really make, you know, epic length experiences. And even in relation to the trailer, he said, it's like, listen, the game isn't quite that epic, but I've never made a trailer like this before, so I want it to. But I mean, he makes these really short. We've always compared them to like snack cake style gaming experiences, but you know, the Tori game, Super Kiwi 64, we've really enjoyed, you know, Macbeth. We've really enjoyed all these fun little bite-sized adventures that Siactro has given us. He's been on the show before to talk about him. Beanie was another one. So I'm interested to jump back in. There we go. We got Glitch from the Tori games. There's Macbeth. There's Kiwi. Yeah. I know it's not going to take me very long, but I'm more than happy to jump back in and have some fun with Kiwi.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to jumping in and seeing what the deal is. It seems like it's like strangely lore heavy.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of into it, man. This seems like a fairly significant free update to a game that was already, I think, you know what, just a few dollars. Like so
$1.99 maybe, I think.
Yeah. So I mean, these are, you know, like come in knowing what this is, like what the deal is with Siactro's games, but oh, hang on. Sorry, I cut it too early. Also including main story cutscenes. So, you know, we have a pretty, you know, a pretty big deal here with this update, man. Yeah.
And save files and actual save files. That's amazing. I really hope that he gets a proper like collection at some point. I would 1000% get a Siactro collection, especially if they put, what was it, Tasty Ramen or whatever in there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, his horror game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'd be cool. Yeah, so I think that's it, though. I think that's our notable releases for the week.
Yeah, it's been a big week. You know, a ton of stuff going on, ton of stuff to be excited about for next month, though. I certainly just hope that, you know, more people are able to land on their feet. But within the world of releases, we got a lot of stuff to look forward to. We've got Mario and Donkey Kong coming next month. We've got the the Tomb Raider trilogy coming next month, and we've got a lot of stuff to look forward to. But we'd love to know what you guys are doing, what you guys are playing this weekend. Let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook at All In Podcast, on Twitter at All In Podcast. Check out our YouTube channel. Like I said, I've got a couple things that I'm working on for the YouTube channel right now. Seth put up a couple videos this week for Little Guardsman and even a little game called The Cub from Demagogue Studios. Ton of content up there for you to jump in and check out. We'd also love for you to come and join our amazingly wholesome, positive, welcoming Discord community. We have an amazing community over there that we think you should be a part of. And in addition to all of that, in addition to all the content that we create, we even create exclusive content for all of those people we shouted out at the beginning of the show, i.e. our patrons.
That's right. Patreon.com/allinpodcast. Check it out. 3 tiers of support over there. Like I said earlier, a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier, which will allow you to check out a bunch of exclusive content that goes up there every single week for our patrons. And it's a great way to support the show. You can also support the show by picking up some merch at bit.ly/allinmerch. Again, even under the video right now, if you're watching us live on YouTube or if you're watching back the VOD, you can do it that way. And if you don't have any bones to throw away, that's okay too. If you listen to us on your podcast feed, give us that 5-star review. That's very, very helpful. And watch it on YouTube. Yeah, your likes and your comments and all of that are all very helpful indeed. So thank you so much for that.
Yes, thank you all so very much for all of you, including those legendary patrons, which, by the way, there's a 7-day free trial to the Golden Banana tier. We, as a matter of fact, just gave our patrons a brand new weekly exclusive series called Indie Showcase Plus. It's a video companion series to our weekly podcast segment, in addition to side quest and other stuff. So even more value added recently to your patron subscription at the Golden Banana and Triforce first tier levels. Go ahead and check that out. To all of those legendary patrons, to everybody who has dropped words, as Seth loves to say, to everybody who has picked up a piece of our merch, again, at bit.ly/allinmerch, and to everybody who has even just shared our content across this vast and sometimes terrifying internet of ours. To all of you, we would like to extend a wonderful Friday. Namaste.
Namaste. That's been the news roundup, everybody. Thanks to everybody who came out. Saw Daniel Inahosa here in the chat. Thank you to Mr. T. Thank you to Sparky. Bob Blah Blah was here as well. So good to see everybody here live tonight. Of course, we still have the weekly podcast that goes live tomorrow on your podcast feed. That's All In, a Nintendo podcast. You got links to that in the video description as well. So stay tuned for that. This week, we are doing the top five biggest January releases in Nintendo history. We are doing the Blade Strangers Indie Showcase. Eric is shouting that game out, a game that I'd never even heard of before we recorded the podcast this week. And we're doing our review for Prince of Persia: The Lost Crown, which also is going to be a video here on the channel, which will also debut tomorrow. So lots of stuff coming from us. And we will talk to y'all soon. Thanks for watching.
Have a great weekend, everyone.